Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're gonna go on an ender and drink a Brazilian beers.
I'm Mike. Got two of them in there.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading Speaker for the Dead by Orson Scott Card. Someone start with a beer?
Yes. Okay, so the main character, or almost the main character, not really, but he's from the one from the series named Ender, goes on a very long voyage to another planet. Takes him 20 years, so he has to go beyond. This is by Finn Beck. This is another one in their series for Pride Week, and this is, again, like usual, an IPA with lime, watermelon, and sea salt, and it's really good.
So, Speaker for the Dead came out in 1986, and it was a sequel to Ender's Game, which we did a million years ago. And I'm just going to say it now, is the greatest bait and switch in literary history. Because, man, if you liked Ender's Game, there is no guarantee you will like anything about this book.
Many people think this one is the best one.
You know what? They
are wrong.
People voted for Hitler. You know, so like, I don't, like, it doesn't, like, sorry. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong, people. I know Orson Scott Card said this is the book he wanted to write. Like Ender's Game, he was just like, fuck it, I'll just mail this in. It's like when John Mayer, after he made all those pop songs, he's like, I'm really a blues guy. Like, oh, fuck you. Like, fuck you, Orson Scott Card. I can't say your name already.
He does suck as a human, too, so, yeah, fuck him.
I don't know anything about his personal life. We probably told this when we did this, the first book, but...
He's one of those, is like, we should eliminate the gays guy.
Oh. But maybe it's just so someone could speak for them.
Yeah. About how good it is that they're gone, he would
say. Queer Speaker for the Dead.
He's like a Fundy Mormon or some weird shit.
Oh, yeah. I read at the end of the audiobook, there's an interview with him.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, when I was on missionary in Brazil, I was like, for which church?
The only one that does that.
So, yeah. Nate, do you remember what the fuck happened in Ender's Game? Because I thought I remember, but apparently I forgot all the boring parts and just remembered the cool battle montages.
Yeah, okay. So Ender's Game is a good book. It's the one where the child is chosen at like age 8 or something like that, because he's literally a fucking genius, to basically solve humanity's biggest problem, which means go to battle school and defeat the bugs. So the whole book is him at, you know, different battle scenarios, and it is pretty good. And then at the very end, they're like, okay, your final exam with all of your child teammates is, you're gonna, like, we've set up this scenario where the alien bug queen is on this other planet, gotta destroy the planet. And he's like, and then he does it. And this is the twist ending of Ender's Game. So spoilers for a book that's been out for 40 years or whatever. But
and is the first one with this book that we're doing now.
And that he completes the scenario. He's the leader with his strategies and all this stuff, and they defeat them. And at the end, all the battle school commander guys are crying, and they're like, "What?" And they're like, "That wasn't a simulation. You actually defeated the bugs. All of this, these weren't actual trainings. You figured out how to do it, and you did it." And it's one of those like zombie rule kind of things where if you defeat the queen, then they all die or something like that.
They were a hive mind species.
You know,
they're like the,
you know, it's like the Night King. Yeah, that kind of thing. So anyway, that is the twist ending of Ender's Game. And then this came out. I thought there must have been at least one or two other books in between, because I'm like, what is all of this stuff?
There was a little epilogue in Ender's Game where he goes to some fucking moon, some secret planet that he gets told about in his video game training, where he finds the last egg,
the metaverse
of the last hive queen. And so he's like, I will bring the bugs back because I feel bad about the whole genocide thing. Whoops, my bad. And that's kind of how it ends. Also, there was that whole subplot about his sister being the world's biggest shit poster, which was
and
really
his brother too, who's just out of this book.
Oh, I forgot he even had a brother, yeah.
Yeah, he because like of time dilation, he's just dead. But I forgot about that too, because several times they had these quotes and they were like, this is something controversial, said Demosthenes. I was like, I gotta look up this Greek. And they're like, no, that was just his sister's Ben Franklin name that she used when she wrote snarky letters. what was it? Some Prudence Do Good.
Oh, yeah.
Was that one of the names? And so that's, so you read that book, and as we went through this book, I remembered a lot of that shit. I was like, oh yeah, there was that weird Jack and the Beanstalk video game he kept playing. But you don't remember that at the end of Ender's Game. You remember the cool battle stuff. But this book will remind you. But first, they're like, hey, do you ever wonder what it would be like if we put Brazilians in space? You're like, I guess. I mean, can you wax pussies in space? Like, how does that even work?
The same way, like, mostly.
But like in zero G, will they like float off? Will they, if you like, one of the wax?
If you use enough wax, no.
But like when you peel off the strip, will they come with it? Like, how? Like, don't they need gravity to hold them in place when the strip goes away?
You hold them down with your feet, and then you use your hands to rip it off.
That is apish. Use your feet. There's astronauts, Jimmy. Come on.
At this point, regular people are going into space. This is no longer a specialized category of human.
Well, and so there's this planet named Lusitania. Why?
They whose tell main you, enemy are German U-boats.
Did you notice that in this world that this guy has created, that the planets all seem to have like one race and one race only?
Well, I guess once humans get to spread out amongst the stars, it's a lot. You don't have to deal with any sort of land acknowledgement issues. You can just, we'll just get our own planet.
It's called spracism.
Spracism.
It's called the one planet solution.
Because Ender is like at the beginning, or you know, the beginning of his part, he's like on
Space Iceland.
Space Iceland, like. There's not enough fucking people in Iceland to merit a planet.
And they're like, no, we will go to space.
Is that where the fairies and the elves live?
This is not true.
That's where they come from when they come down for us to give us magics. This is Planet Bork. They're referring to, for any listeners who are confused.
It was Trondheim, which I'm pretty sure is that board game Nate plays.
Trondheim is like a city in Norway or something.
What's that Viking, like 800-hour look? Gloomhaven?
Oh, Gloomhaven, yeah.
Trondheim is definitely an expansion to Gloomhaven. when they go to space.
On this planet where with all the Brazilians...
He does mention that they're black. He's like, he puts that in there. He's like, these are the dark ones.
True.
So he's not racist. He gives them their own planet. It's at the back of the other planets.
22 light years from everyone else.
And if a white planet comes along, they have to give up their seat for it.
In Orson Scott Card's world, yes.
Yes, he plays the Orson Scott race card right away.
So, okay, on this planet... where the humans live. The humans only live in this tiny little corner. And it is also, oh yeah, by the way, the only other planet in the galaxy that has sentient life, or at least like intelligent life, besides Earth, the bugs that they're now all dead. So it's actually, this is the third and only other one. And they have a name, these aliens have a name, but everybody just calls them the piggies because they have snouts that look kind of like pigs.
I looked up pictures of, they're like, there's like a graphic novel someone made. I don't know if it was him, but they look like weird little pigs mixed with like an elf kind of thing.
I got a Ewok vibe because they're little and they live in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, the natural habitat of Brazilians. It's like the Amazon rainforest of space.
Well, in this one, they live in a fenced off forest.
Because there are really, I mean, this is the plot of Ender's Game is like, what about like space battles? And you're like, that's pretty cool. And then he's like, hold my beer. What about space anthropology class? Like, oh, gross. He's like, I know. Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to make some kinship charts. It's going to be awesome.
And he's going to show you why mixing cultures is a terrible idea.
Yes. That and an obligatory reading about the Kung Bushman. And so the main plot in the first third of the book is that there is a anthropologist. They call him something else, though. They're like the Xenodors.
Peepo and Poopoo or something. One is fucking Peepo, isn't it?
Peepo and his son Poopoo.
So my,
what's the
my
other, what's the son's name?
Calls my son Monsieur Poopoo and Peepee. Monsieur Poopoo
Peepees. Like Peepo and Leepo or something, right?
Dua Lipa. It was
Dua Lipa, yeah. But the guy's name is fucking Peepo. I didn't name him that.
So dumb.
That's like Beaker and Mr. Bunsen's names in another country.
Beeper. Okay, so on this planet, there's this whole
Lebo
thing where
was the other one.
he's poo poo now. I refuse to listen. La 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 la. Nope, he's poo poo now. Okay,
it's so Borg Dat.
Beepo and poo poo. Okay.
So okay, there's a whole scenario where first. On this planet, the humans, many humans of the Brazilians that are living there are dying of this disease
that
they somehow caught from. They somehow caught from the piggies, and the disease is called.
Someone fucked one of them.
Descolada, also known as piggy AIDS.
Bacon AIDSer.
Hog IV.
And so. First, earlier before the book, two of these xenobiologists had figured out a cure, but they still died of it, but they were able to cure everybody. They had a daughter who was now an angry teenager, and she's like, no, I want to become one too. I need to take the test. And the local other nice dude named Peepo is like, okay, child, I guess you can. Hold it together, Mike. We've got a lot.
I don't know how I didn't know. Think of that.
That's his name. Okay. So, he's like, yes, okay, you can take it. And then she is like, starting as a teenager, doing this really like doctoral level work of like biology and figuring out the stuff about the piggies. And then, but then Peepo dies, gets murdered by them. And so you've got this situation where first, the colony is really not supposed to interact, or not just interact, they're not supposed to interfere with the piggy civilization at all. Like, they're really supposed to, like, they can't even ask them, like, leading questions that might give away the fact that humans have all this technology. They have to really try and keep it as secret as possible. Anyway, so, but Peepo dies.
And only Peepo and his kid are the only ones allowed to even speak with them or see them. Like, the other people in the village can't even, like, talk to them. It's just them.
Yeah. And then, so the girl, and what the hell is her name?
Novenia.
She is, like, my adopted father, the man that I'm, like, look up to so much. He has now been murdered. I need a speaker for the dead. Bum, bum. And so, okay, that actually means something in this book. Because she's like, we need, and essentially she's saying, there's a mystery. I need a brilliant detective to come solve this mystery. She needs Hercule Poirot. No, she actually needs, I know about this guy who, you know, for the speakers of the dead, they're all on Earth, so they need to come here. Okay, it takes 20 years to get from Earth to this planet, and that's at near the speed of light. However, in this universe that Orson Scott Card created, they do not have faster than light travel, but they do have faster than light communication. So even though that's through the Ansible, this thing called the Ansible, meaning all the planets in the universe, or the human planets that humans have colonized, can talk with each other instantaneously. It doesn't matter about how far away they are. And it works just fine. So she like sends out through her brain waves, I need a speaker for the dead. And then cut to the next chapter. And Ender, also known as Andrew Wiggin, is a professor, is only 40 years old. Oh yeah, we forgot to mention.
35.
35.
He's younger than all of us.
We forgot to mention that all of this happens 3,000 years after the events of Ender's Game. But yet Ender is still alive and only about 35. And at first you're like, what? And it's because he spent thousands of years traveling at light speed in order to first get to the bug planet and then come all the way back and stuff like that. And so he has only aged 15, 20 years since the events of Ender's Game, even though 3,000 years have actually passed. And so nobody knows that he is actually Ender, the one who committed this terrible xenocide. But he just goes by Andrew Wiggin, and somehow nobody figures it out.
And because his exploits are from like the early days of the internet, so it's like a GeoCities page. Like nobody can really find that anymore.
Yeah, there's no record of the guy. The most hated man in the universe's actual name. Though maybe they kept it secret because, you know, it was military shit, so who knows.
And he was a minor.
He was a minor. He was like maybe, what, 11 or 12 in the first book?
He had that genocide expunged.
Yeah.
It's sealed. But yeah, the Ender is like a slur. You know, you don't even say that word. But he's like, I don't understand what a speaker for the dead is supposed to do. He's supposed to give a space eulogy. I don't really understand. But
so,
like, it's in the constitution of Space Congress or whatever the fuck it's called, the Starways House of Burgesses, that if you ask for a speaker for the dead, they have to come, and then they, I don't know, say a few Hail Marys or something. I'm really not sure what his job
is. So reading the Wikipedia page about this book, I noticed that exact thing. And it says, like, what is a speaker for the dead? The speaker for the dead, Ender, wrote these books, these fictional books inside the book, who launched a new spiritual movement called Speakers for the Dead, who have the authority to investigate and eulogize a person in their work after their death. Who needs authorization for that? What do you mean they're authorized? Like, can't anybody do that?
For some reason, they have, like, sweeping general authority over local governments. Like, it's a sacred thing. Maybe it's just a religious thing, because, you know, there are still space Catholics in this one.
And I like how the space Catholics are persecuted in the universe. Morrison Skarsgård's like, yeah. Good.
Every Mormon's dream.
Those papists. You keep your little boys, and we'll have our sister wives.
So
if you listen to the interview, which I listened to half of it before I realized I didn't want to listen to that wiener's mouth, he said he heard someone give a eulogy about a person, like a real life thing. And the guy was a scumbag, but in the eulogy, like they like pretended he was somebody totally different. They're like, oh, and this is, I'm sure we've all experienced some version of this where someone's like, he was such a good friend, or he was such a good husband, or she was such a caring person. You're like, really? Not that I ever saw. And so like that was his inspiration for this idea of the speaker for the dead, to like get to the truth of who the person was or something.
He had a much more profoundly bullshit excuse, which was like, his wife went up to him and he's like, oh, he was a great husband. Like that's her way of defeating him, and like, erasing the man that he was and replacing him with this other version. Is like, I don't know if I agree with that concept.
That's some Jordan Peterson fucking psychology.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what it means to me.
You have to erase the man that he was and create the man that he was with you, and therefore lobster taints.
But he's a dark-skinned Brazilian, so he's only a fraction of a man.
But yes, so yes, for some reason, I guess it's been 3,000, you know, it's like any sci-fi book where you're like, this is how technology is. In this case, he's invented a strangely powerful bureaucratic position we don't understand, which is basically his version of a laser gun. So we just do accept that. That's what this book is about. Okay, it's a gimmick.
Being the Reverend Comptroller.
he's like a fucking like death auditor.
That sounds like a great heavy metal band. It's like some intense.
Did that
Swedish
guy
black
really
metal.
Die? Really?
Yes.
Okay, so
they fly through space for decades or thousands of years or decades, depending on who you talk to, and they go and they tell the true story of a person's life. Like, though I have to imagine it's mostly for negative stuff. So they go to talk shit about a dead person decades after they've died because it takes forever for them to get there. So I was like, I don't even remember
that
guy.
What do they remember at that point? They're like, oh, that guy, he died 23 years ago? Well, is that the dude? Did he shit in the sink once? Like, what do they remember? I'm pretty sure I saw that guy not tip once. The second anthropologist gets murdered by the little pig people, and they get murdered, and also somewhere along there was a pig person that gets murdered because... And this is a dig at anthropology, I guess. They don't understand what they're witnessing, the humans. They see one of their little informants. His name was like Reuter or something. And one day they go there, and Reuter appears to have been tortured to death. He had his in his guts cut out of his body, but like they're still all attached by, you know, veins and shit. While he was alive, so he was vivisected, and then a tree is growing out of the cavity, and they're like, "What a crazy ritual!" They punished him because he told us something he shouldn't have told us about. And there's so much about the fucking culture of the pigs that I hope we don't have to talk about. But that's the same way they kill the pig people. Kill the two anthropologist guys, and so everyone's freaking out.
But they killed them, right? 20 years apart.
They're both dead by the time Ender gets there.
Yes.
So he shows up, and now, like...
And then Novenia is like, wait, who are you? I hardly even remember calling for you.
Well, he's also been summoned for Novenia's shitty alcoholic husband, who has died of diseases.
Plotitis.
He died of a disease that replaces your balls with fat.
That's not real.
It's like, yeah, eventually fat cells just grow into everything. So his balls were all fat, and then he died. It's like, wow, that's just fucked up.
Balls. So do you think at a certain point, though, like his balls had, they were like really big fat balls, and they had no wrinkles on his sack? And like the Botox of nutsacks? It's like, wow, look at those. They're like two ostrich eggs. Or do they just become really upsetting? It's like a big bag of oatmeal.
It was probably the second one.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So he gets there. She's like, I just called you like a week ago. Or no, he just died. Like, you can't be like, no, actually, I'm here for that guy that you called for 20 years ago. But I can knock this one out while I'm here too, you know, kill a few birds with one stone.
And she had recanted. She can't try to like hit cancel, but it was like, too late. Amazon had already shipped it.
Well, it's the universal law of no backsies.
Yes. Even
it's a constant.
Even in space Brazil, there's no backsies.
So the book goes into all this stuff about, first, Pipo was murdered by the piggies. And Novenia is like, he figured something out. They killed him because he figured something out. I need to lock this, keep it secret forever, so that nobody else finds out, so that no one else dies. Especially Pipo's son, Pipo, who I love. Because she also, you know, is a fucking poo-poo on the side. And she's like, she is, you know, it's Brazil.
What the fuck was his real name?
It's not Brazil, but it's Brazilians. It's Lino. No.
Lipo.
Lipo.
There, oh, she was giving him some lipo suction.
Oh my God. So, okay. Lipo. She's like, in order to save Lipo, I can never tell him what, I can't even look at what Pipo found, but I also cannot let Lipo ever look at Lipo. Lipo ever find it. So I'm going to lock it away. I'm going to make it password protected. But then they're like, but on this planet, there's some rule that if you're married, your husband gets access to all your files.
They're space Catholics. Which is women, like, are still secondary dumb citizens.
They can go through your phone when you sleep.
Which is like, that's kind of a dumb made up rule that drives the entire
plot. It's like the opposite of the spouses can't testify against each other. In this case, they have to.
And I've heard that's not true at all, either.
Yeah, they could absolutely... Why wouldn't... That must happen all the time.
They say that you can't be compelled to, but you can if you want to. I don't know.
But I also feel that...
What if they subpoena you? Like, also not true. Your shit, they can't do that?
It's like, I don't fucking know. I'm not a lawyer. It's a dumb rule.
They would definitely be kind of a hostile witness, unless they're divorced, and then they'd be a very willing witness.
Yeah. Hostile in a different way.
So that was one of the like rules that made the whole plot actually happen, is that Novenia sort of like sacrifices, she's like loves Lipo, but she won't marry him because that means he would see the secret that would actually get him killed. Oh, and he still does, so like that didn't help. also there's another thing where it was like the reason why the xeno anthropologists, they don't actually know what's going on, is because they're not allowed to do any tests. They can't do genetic tests on they can't like do any like by any tests on the piggies, so they don't know what's going on. It's kind of like that would never happen. In any reasonable situation, we're like, no, if we're going to another planet with an alien species, we're going to find out everything we possibly can. Especially when they outnumber us and, you know, they live here. I mean, just for like, how did they get here? How did they evolve? And there's also a lot of biology in the book where it's like, there appear to only be about 24 species on the whole planet. That's weird. And there are all these ecological niches that are not niches or whatever it's called, or they're not being exploited or used at all. And it's like this one species, they have no predators, like nobody, but, and then they have no, and like, that's just also one of the things, like the biology on this planet is super bizarre. Like evolution is still clearly a thing. He's not that kind of Christian, but somehow something has gone haywire on this planet and it's just very strange. Anyway, so then Ender shows up and he's like, I'm going to start looking into this stuff. And somehow he figures everything out in 3 days.
Well, it helps that he happens to have a special imaginary friend who has the entire internet, is the smartest being in the universe. The artificial intelligence gene that emerged out of the...
Was she in the first book?
I don't think so. I don't remember at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because it explains where she came from.
Yeah. She's like, his only real friend besides his sister, who he has left behind on Space Iceland to take this...
when she was pregnant.
Yeah, because, you know, she used to travel everywhere with him when, you know, there's some weird incest vibes that he keeps... I'm not picking up on that. Like, he says it pretty loosely. Like, you know, we love each other in many ways. Like, oh, that's fucking weird. Space Mormons. but he has left her behind on this planet they were on last, where he was a professor, and because she has gotten married and is now pregnant with probably some guy in a sweater and a beard named Sork, and they keep talking about like
6'5" blonde guy,
the different levels of alien, and they're all like Norwegian words like Freundling and Vrellum and Fushbot.
they're all IKEA things.
Yeah. And Bjork
is like end table to Ottoman. I don't know where you fall on the range of alien, but it's like aliens that are friends, aliens that live nearby, aliens we don't understand at all, and bad guys. Maybe. I don't know.
Aliens that look like humans and are almost humans. Aliens that look like
Mark
humans.
Zuckerberg.
Aliens that don't look like humans and aliens we don't fucking understand at all.
Yeah, this is just made up, of course, for the book. And then everyone knows this thing. Like, this has become a standard thing. Like, are they Freundlings or are they Splort monsters? And you're like, I don't fucking, what? Is that the guy who plays the mountain? Like, what? and even the little pig people start using these words.
Yeah, the pig people who they, you know, unsuccessfully have tried to shield all culture from know these bizarre anthropology concepts. But they don't aren't allowed to know what like belts are, you know. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah, like they don't even understand how the pig people reproduce. They're like, I don't see any penises on those.
And they're all dudes. They're not allowed to see the women pigs or the babies or anything. They're not allowed to ask any questions.
I mean, if you were married to a pig, would you want to be showing her off to everybody?
Well, they're not allowed to ask them like, where are your wives? Because that would imply that humans have wives, and pigs would be like, wait a second, you do something different with your wives? What the fuck are you talking about? So you're not even allowed to ask them questions, because then they could figure stuff out about us, which is very limiting. And so you just say like, what did you do today? Okay, bye.
I'm sure this is somewhat real in anthropology, but like, you can't find anything out at the certain, if like, you can't, if you have to be so cautious.
I mean, I think they're just a little gun shy because of the whole genocide thing. But still, the book is mostly made up of contrived MacGuffins.
Wow, that's worse than the average MacGuffin.
Contrived MacGuffin is an Umphrey's McGee album, by the way.
It's how Umphrey McGee's songs are made.
Oh, wow, a flat five. Thanks, Umph.
Quick, someone take an 8-minute solo. Maybe, yeah. But Orson Scarcart, did you read the quote from him on Wikipedia? Is it because there was interest in making a movie of this? Like, good God, that must be awful. And he said, this is unfilmable. It's mostly just talking heads and occasional moments of violence. It's like, oh, at least he knows what he made.
And the violence happens off page.
Yeah. It's just, just murder scenes, like a crime scene after the fact. Or are they?
Yeah. But anyway, Ender gets there and he starts fucking up stuff, right? I forget exactly why.
Well, because there's friction with the Catholics.
Right.
Because the bishop or whatever, he's like, you're not here about the kids, right? And then they're like, no. He's like, no, I'm speaking for the dead. He's like, oh, good. I heard something about head. I go. And then they get mad and they have to just do a lot of just like, well, have you seen subsection J of Article 2? I'm allowed to do this. Like, who gives it? Oh, my God. And then there's also Novenia's kids. She has, I don't know, I don't remember their
something
names.
Something like 74.
Four or five of them.
She has at least 74 children.
One of them is a rabid gremlin that has been fed after midnight. Like it is, he meets the kid and he puts it into like a Chuck Norris chokehold and the kid pisses on him. Like, what is this fucking doing in the book?
And then she's like, do you want to change? He's like, no, it's already dry. Like, dude, change anyway. It's covered in piss.
We know it's not a humid planet. The piss could evaporate or diffuse into the air. Like, no, Joao.
It's like if you piss in your pants and people are like, did you change them? It's like, no. They just dried. These things are good again. People would think you were insane.
You know, it's not the craziest thing in this book.
It's like, you know what? It's okay. It's not my piss.
And then there's, I forgot the fuck one. His other name was Eyeballs.
Laser Eyeballs kid.
Cyclops. The one who has Cyclops eyes. Who he lost his eyes to using old contact lenses or something, and so now he has magic eyes that are always recording things, and he can like see through lead doors, and that's going to be important later. That's like the one thing Superman can't do. So there's all these like little rascals, the Brazilian little rascals get introduced into the book. All of this dumb shit is happening, and none of it matters. Until Ender's like, I think I need to go speak to the pig people. And you know what? I'm just going to open this beer. I could have opened it anywhere because it's all about stupid space religions. And they're like, no, that would be heathenness. And this beer is called Heathenness. And it's from Return Brewing, which I don't know if I've ever had a beer from them. Except for the other can of this that I drank on the train home today.
couldn't wait.
It's the railroad. You're allowed to do that. Doesn't matter if it's three. and this is a double IPA, and it's okay. Nothing amazing, but pretty good. I will drink it again. So then I actually don't really remember what happens. It feels like so much nothing happened for most of the book. Nate, do you remember?
I can confirm it was nothing.
I'm really. I mean, there are many words. There are so many words, but I basically it's all like explaining these like I. Their fucking flawed understanding of how the animals, the pigs, the pig people work, the porquinos or whatever they were called.
Porquinos.
Oh, the other one that was also fucking really confusing, there would be at the start of chapters, as Nate pointed out at some point in the past, every sci-fi book does now put a quote from a fake book in the universe of that book.
I mean, it's mostly fantasy, but fantasy novels, but...
Sci-fi has got that a little case of that occasionally.
They're adjacent.
And so they'd start, but I was listening to the audiobook, so I don't really understand how like the dates worked, because they'd be like, you know, testimony by Joao Jorge 1975, 22, 3, 400. And I was like, what the fuck? Is this a phone number? What is this? It
star
never
date,
explained
you know.
The hit. I don't know what I'm supposed to like. Yahtzee.
It was confusing because it was like, this is clearly not 1975, but then you're like, oh, by the way, we changed dates again, and it's like year zero was when we invented the Stargate compromise or whatever the fucking Starways Commons or something.
But I just didn't know, and I just ignored every single one of them because they were just like, die. Sometimes it would be two characters talking, like a dialogue. I'm like, recorded a conversation of these two people. I was like, what? It was some creeper had like bugged their room. And that's like now an epigraph.
And that guy sounded a lot like Javier Bardem.
There were like an odd number of voice actors, and I couldn't really tell why it switched at times.
Because
and
they
one guy sounded like Chris Parnell. Like, why'd you do that? You big poop mouth.
Pee poo 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 mouth.
I just got over that.
Well, he is Dr. Spaceman. Yeah,
oh, true.
Oh, shit.
Also known as Dr. Spuchemin.
But there was like a weird half cast for this book.
Well, it's one of the most universally loved sci-fi books of all time, somehow.
And it was probably recorded in the 80s. So that's back when both budgets were higher, but also people who made audiobooks didn't realize that people could follow an audiobook when only one person read it. So they would just have like full casts. Oh, they'd have one person reading the narrator, another person reading this character, a woman reading the other character, and then they would just have multiple voice actors. Which, having listened to many audiobooks now, I don't think is better. I think it's better. One good audiobook narrator, even if they do little voices, most of the time is perfectly fine and probably better.
I listened to, what the fuck was that one with the talking bear? Golden Compass.
Oh,
I listened to that where it had a cast.
Yes.
So it'd be like whatever random B-lister they get. I was like, hand it to me, he said. No, I won't, she replied. Shortly, like, and they just kept cutting back and forth, and they're like, "This is bewildering. Like, this is too many things."
Yeah,
I mean, I do like it when a good person can do a lot of voices, but sometimes they're not very good at the voices. It sounds like Manos, the Hands of Fate. All right. So anyway, shit's happening. They're trying to understand. They realize
is it though?
They don't understand fucking anything about the pig people, and Ender is asking lots of questions, and at one point he makes Data mad at him because he turns her off.
He turns her off so that he can show the people that he's talking to that they can trust him to not share their secrets or something, because she's connected to his what at the time in 1980s was revolutionary technology and is now called a like a hands-free cell phone thing.
A Bluetooth.
His Jewel.
So for a book that came out in 1986, he is kind of predicting not the 3,000-year future of technology, but like a couple year, you know, the sort of future of technology now, where the AI named Jane is really like, that's practically the like ChatGPT that we have now. It's read every book that's ever written, and it has some understanding, though some understanding in quotes, about a lot of things, and you can ask it a lot of questions, and it'll have stuff for you.
Jane seems to be like an actual sentient being.
It's self,
well, people think that about ChatGPT. They're fucking, they are fucking wrong. So,
I still say thank you, just in case it becomes sentient.
You see that the article is like people every time you say thank you, it like costs them a shitload of money.
Yeah, I also kind of like that part of it, too. It's like, thank you. And it's like, process. You're welcome. No, I really mean it.
I heard someone ask this question. It's like, mostly as a joke, because, you know, the whole AI thing is bullshit. But it was like, okay, the point of AI is to make this sentient being that does whatever you say. It's like, so you just want to make slaves. It's like, well, no. It's like, well, what if it doesn't want to do the things you ask? It's like, no, it's going to do those things. Like, you just want to make slaves then.
Like, no. Or it gets the hose. don't we all? No? Just Nate? Okay. I'm really trying to remember what the fuck.
He gives a big speech about how her husband's fat full of ball sack thing. He wasn't really their dad because his balls were all made of fat. It's like, wow, way to kick the guy when he's down.
And his big fat balls.
No, they weren't even big. They weren't even big. They were just regular sized balls, but they were all like made of like old fat instead of ball meat.
Lard nuts. Which is a nickname like, from the 60s.
She just married him because
teacher gives you.
She just married him because, you know, she didn't want her real person she loved, Lipo/Poopoo, to find out her secrets. So she married the town other guy who's dumb. And he's a drunk, and everyone hated him. and they treated him like a dog because he was big and dumb as a child, and he never got over that. And you should all feel bad, but also that guy kind of sucked too, so I don't know where we fall on this morally. Also, his balls were full of fat, so I just feel I should mention that again. No kids, no cum, just ball fat. And now he's dead.
Every time he nutted, it was like he was greasing a pan.
Like a tub of margarine.
I need to season this cast iron skillet.
Yeah, he does that. And everyone's like, cool. You came here 22 years in the future to tell us this? So that guy only died like a week ago. I was like, yeah, no, we knew he kind of sucked, and we feel bad that we were mean to him. But again, the ball fat thing, so I guess, you know, we'll call it even Stevens. Anyway, thanks, intergalactic space bureaucrat.
That's Dr. Reverend Intergalactic Space Bureaucrat.
So also, he manages to figure out what is really going on with the
Scooby-Doo's
people. Also, can I say, one of the pig people is named Human.
Yeah,
I
was confused.
It's like, fuck, it took me a long time to realize, oh no, that's one of the pig people. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Whoa, okay, well, I do not understand.
The piggies named him Human because he was smart, like the humans. That was it. They also don't say their pig names.
Yeah. Well, clearly I missed that part. And then when one of the piggies is named Human, I thought the human was talking to them.
Why do they keep calling this guy Human? Is that a Brazilian? Is it Uman?
Is he always late?
Frequently.
Okay, so Ender figures out what's really going on with the pig people. More like he figures out a bunch of it and then actually goes to talk to them. Which you're not allowed to do, but because he's Ender, he just does it anyway. He says, yes, I actually wrote the book. I am actually Ender Wiggin, and I actually wrote those two famous books, the Hive Queen.
The Hegemon and the Jamaican. What was it called? Hamon and the Queen.
Yeah. And also, the pigs know about Ender, despite not knowing, you know, about toasters. They know about the concept of the Speaker for the Dead and the bug genocide, and they want to meet the Queen. How they figured these things out, who knows? Because it seems that they gave up more info than they ever got.
Well, we find out somebody was giving them shit illegally.
Well, also they were just jumping the fence and like sneaking around because they use space opium to like make sure the electric fences don't work on the little pig hands.
Right, that's gonna be important later. That they could take topical analgesics, whatever that word is, like
analgesics.
I don't know how to say it, because I don't know if you're supposed to emphasize the anal part of it.
You ever saw that scene in Scrubs where the doctor was like, "No, sir, it's pronounced analgesic. The pills go in your mouth."
Well, it's two of the space rascals, two of the kids have been giving shit to the piggies, including they like, because it's 3,000 years in the future, they still use printers. They printed out a copy of Ender's book and gave it to them.
And an old leather-bound edition of The Count of Monte Cristo.
And it still had all those little circles on the side, you know, that they had to tear off.
Like the ones they still have in rental car places. It's like, why do you guys still have these?
Yes.
It must cost you more to keep these things going than to buy a real printer.
Those are the Abrams tank of the printer world. You ever see like those clickbait articles like doctors hate this guy? Like, Hewlett Packard hate these printers. Like, they never die.
Unstoppable. Dot matrix.
They've had to like create their own source of getting that paper that's in that accordion weird two-tone rows of color.
Selling them to budget rental cars everywhere.
Every once in a while, you go into some like weird store. You have to buy like an odd thing, like, and they have one of those prints. Like, why? Surely you could have just emailed if you really wanted me to have a record of this event. You could have emailed it to me or texted or just like, hey, do you want a printer? Do you need to put coal in my printer and fire it up to print this shit out for you? You're like, you better start the water wheel. I'm purchasing several items today.
See, I have the same reaction whenever I find out I have to fax something. I'm like, what century is it?
And now you just fax it by email? It's like, so you email it to a fax machine that prints it out. Like, why is this step necessary?
If a very strong lobby. The fax lobby is powerful.
Absolutely.
All right, so I don't know exactly where I'm trying to remember. I know we talked about being space-cocked.
He goes to talk to the piggies. Andrew goes to talk to the piggies himself. So like, the pigs have been jumping over the fence with their space opium that they eat. And then they're like, here, you can... Because here's what's going on. The Star Congress, or whatever the fuck they're called, has seen that the piggies have exploded in population, which means something has gone wrong and someone is giving them technology. It turns out that the guy was showing them how to, like, make bread because they were just, you know, subsistence eating. They're basically, like, tribal. And so they're like, oh, you have interfered in their culture. Yeah, we're going to make you all leave the planet right the fuck now. We're taking our shit and going home. You lose, Brazil. You lose the aptly named Lusitania, famous Brazilian ship. And so they're like, Ender's is like, what if we just declare independence from the space hegemony? And they're like, that is dumb. We can't make toothbrushes here. We need shipments every 22 years or whatever. And so the Star government has locked down the pig forest, and they can't open the door anymore. And they're deleting all of the Space Brazilians' hard drives from space because they had just one zip drive. And so
they shared the Google Drive.
They had a Google share. They've removed sharing positions permissions from the drive. And so the Space Brazilians are like...
Oh, no, they're afraid that someone would go in and delete everything by accident.
Instead, they deleted
it on purpose. I was trying to make space.
But so this is, they're going to delete everything and make them come home. But Ender's like, no, I'll help you declare independence, and we can do whatever we want with these piggies. You know, mostly sex stuff, but other stuff too. Because sharing is caring, and we should help them out.
After 3,000 years, I'm so far past gerbils. These guys are the right size. I'm going to really go to town on them.
it would be good if he kept making like really old references they didn't get. Like, these have got the right stuff. And they're like, I don't know. I'm in space Brazil 3,000 years into the future. I've never heard of this film.
Listen, guys, it's going to be da bomb.
These pigs are fat. PH fat. So then they agreed. The space governors is like, I'm going to send you all our files, Ender, and you can keep them on your ear hard drive in space with your magic friend. And also the pigs are like, one of the kids, they're like, hey, chew this space opium and jump over the fence with us. And he's like, okay, but it doesn't work on humans. And he ends up paralyzed and unable to speak mostly for the rest of his life. Which is
and a incontinent.
Thing. Yeah, he pees on himself, much like the rest of the family.
He is poo poo.
Meanwhile, we forgot that when he saw Novenia's plea for a speaker for the dead as a young girl, he's like, "I must go fuck that." And he's you know, he's getting there. Like, in 22 years, she'll be about my age now, so this will be less creepy. And he shows up, and he's like, dead husband, all these kids, I am ready to just sub in. Because he, of course, loves her for some fucking reason that doesn't make any sense. They've known each other for like a few days, and she fucking hates him.
She's pretty desperate.
But, of course, he turns her mind around because he's a space genius.
Making her queefer for the dead. What? Oh, that right? He's like, Mac, you sound like you're running out of ketchup.
What does that even mean?
What?
Oh.
Okay. You know the sound when you're trying to get that last bit of ketchup out? That's a cool sound.
Not where I thought that was going to go. It's admittedly better. But he goes to see the piggies and talk to them, and he meets all the piggy wives who are just also piggies, but like bigger, and like they're the bosses. And then he realizes we knew nothing about pig culture because... pigs are born as little larvae And then they do become trees, and the final life cycle stage of the pig is to be a tree that when you ask it special nicely, it falls over and turns into wood boards that they need to make houses. And that's true.
You have to sing a special tree song, yeah. Because the whole time they were like, you know, typical anthropology distance, they're like, they seem to talk about the trees and give them names. As they must be named after important figures of their past. Like, no, that's Roberto. He's a tree now. He's an elder pig person. They become trees. They start off as a termite.
Eat their way. Yeah, yeah.
Become a person. They have to eat their way. Yeah, they really evolved stupidly. The wives get pregs, and then the thing eats itself out of her, not in the way you like. And she then explodes with little termites come out of her puss.
Yeah, that's the problem. She doesn't have one.
They have to eat a hole, and then they live in a tree, and they eat the tree's cum for a while.
Then they're into
then
become
that
like
makes
pig
them
toddlers,
big and strong, and then they can become like garden gnome sized pig people until you sing them a special song, and then you eviscerate them, and they become a tree. This is very obvious. It's a very logical system.
I can't believe that this man does not do acid.
He doesn't even drink caffeine soda.
You know, he probably had one coffee and thought all this up.
He's like, oh my god, get me a typewriter.
I can see forever.
And so Ender, they find all this out because Ender just, he plays hardball. They're like, they get some other little guy to translate, and he's like, tell them I'm fucking coming to town. I don't want to see some pig bitches. And then he's like, I cannot say this. And he's like, you fucking say it. I'm speaker for the dead. You know who I am? I killed bug people. And they're like, okay, judge. And then he just keeps, the pig ladies are mad, and he's like, I don't give a fuck what your fat wife says.
He really does.
He just shit.
I blew up a fucking planet. You think I'm going to let your sass talking pigs get to me?
And then eventually he's like, because the pig people, now that they understand that there is space travel, TiVo, they're like, Can we please have some of that? We want that too. We want to be in the stars. We don't just live in the fucking forest here like it's Endor. Like, help us out.
Well, they're like, we want to make sure that, you know, by the time we get to, you know, space travel in our culture, that humans haven't taken all the planets.
He's like, I don't know if that's how it works, but okay. I'll put in a good word for you.
Also, the tribe that he's talking to wants to use all his technology stuff to kill all the other pigs to make trees for their cum to live in. And he's like, you can do that. You can have the stuff, but yeah, you can't kill each other. Only if someone else starts it first, then that's fine. And they're like, that's a deal. Okay. We won't ejaculate in our fallen enemies' tree bodies. Does it end yet? Is it over?
There's so much more about the trees and they're like, oh, but he's like, you could then spread more of your genes by fucking the other pigs. And they're like, oh,
never
shit.
Thought about fucking.
That would be sweet. Fucking some other pigs.
I mean, did he realize that the pigs they were actually talking to were like the loser pigs that no one wanted to fuck?
Is that what it was? They were just the herbs.
Well, they were like the. He was like, we see these pigs, but we don't see any of the women. Maybe these are just like the loser incel pigs who aren't allowed around the girls.
Those pig bitches don't like nice guys.
And then what happens is they make a great agreement between the humans and the piggies, and the piggies like, all right, now one of us has to be eviscerated and turned into a tree. That's how we sign our contracts. And he's like, oh, I don't want to do that. He's like, well, I don't want to do that to you. He's like, well, okay, I already wiped out a whole species. I'll turn you into a tree.
But it's not killing them.
What's one more?
For them, it's this great, great honor.
They become a tree.
They go on to full, you know, the metamorphosis.
Well, he gets them to understand, like, when you do that to us, we don't turn into trees. We just die. And they're like, oh, shit, those other two guys we killed are just dead, are bad.
And it was an excruciating, horrible death for them because they didn't want to kill you. And they're like, whoa.
Yes.
Party foul.
Because one, it was like a thanks for giving us bread. Let's turn you into a tree as a testament to this great thing.
But how did he fucking get overtaken by these guys? Was this like a Gulliver's Travels thing?
No. He allowed it to happen.
He couldn't just like punt a few of them and get back on the other side of the fence?
No, he was he understood their ways.
It's ridiculous. These little dwarf people. You can't trust them as far as you could toss them.
The thing I don't fully understand.
The one
is what was the secret that she was trying to hide? Was that everybody was sick?
So she never figured out what it was because she refused to read the files that would have revealed.
So we don't know either.
The secret that would get her killed, that would get everyone killed. So she was like, she wanted to lock it away. She knows it's in there somewhere. So there's something in there, some incritical piece of information. But she was like, if I read it, maybe they'll kill me. But if I let anyone else read it, they'll kill them. So in order to save them, I needed to lock it away.
But she doesn't Ender figure it out, or does he not? I don't remember.
Yes, he does figure it out. He figures it out.
Matlock. Yeah. But what was it? I didn't really understand, because it didn't seem like that big a deal.
It was some version of, the two facts put together of, when the piggy people die, they become a tree, and that's how they reproduce. That's one part. But also, which was not known before, and being murdered and then made into a tree is actually a great honor for them. So the piggies murdered Pipo because they loved him. They thought they wanted to hit him. They thought they were doing him a great honor and turning him into a tree. But instead, they absolutely murdered him and dismembered him while he was still alive. And it was horrifying for humans. But to the piggy people, they were like, oh, we were helping you because we like you.
I thought the secret was like that thing where they're talking about like how that virus that wiped out the planet, like these things lived and now like everyone has it on the planet.
So
I don't remember.
That's
I don't fucking
somehow
understand.
Involved because it's that virus that somehow lets genes cross from animal to plant species. So like the piggies are sort of like a new species that came about, or at least somewhat came about because of the virus, because the virus will let you cross the animal and plant thingy, and so that's really where they come from. It's involved, and it's also part of the secret why there's only like 12 species on the entire planet.
Is that virus
because
let them survive?
They're all actually switching back and forth between animal and plant and animal and plant, but the humans haven't figured that out yet. They didn't understand that at the time.
Oh, of course.
Something.
Yeah, about
yeah. I mean, that is what I think that was. I just don't understand why that was like the secret that got them killed, or any. I don't understand why any of that was a secret that got them killed. But yeah. So then.
So I think Novenia was mistaken in that she thought this piece of information would get everyone killed, or everyone I love killed. She was afraid of that, but it probably wouldn't, because if really Pipo had figured out, this is what their life cycle is. This is what the pig people do when they reproduce. They die, and then they turn into a tree. And if they do that to us, we die, but they don't. They actually turn into a tree, and that's how they reproduce. That wouldn't have been dangerous knowledge, but because the piggies just did it to Pipo, Novenia thought this piece of information, whatever it is, she didn't look for what it was, but this piece of information is so dangerous, no one can find out.
So it was like a MacGuffin made with a red herring.
A mistaken MacGuffin.
It was an egg MacGuffin because it had layers.
When you find out at the end.
But okay, sure. What the fuck? I don't know. Then it ends, and then there's a thing about the kid, but does Ender's story, is there just epilogue after that? I don't remember.
And it's where his sister is going to come visit him.
Yeah, because
she's now old.
Yeah, because now she's gone back to being a shit poster, and she hops right back onto 4chan, and she's just like, "All right, let's fucking do this."
I'm the one that sent Justin Bieber to North Korea. I did that. I made Pitbull go to Alaska. You don't know my power. Look at what I dubbed the dew.
She's like telling everybody, and she's convincing everyone on the internet that they should be allowed to secede from the hegemony or whatever the fuck it is. And, you know, that's cool. And she's going to go there. And then also the kid who paralyzed himself permanently with electric fences makes a new friend with a hot AI who he's definitely going to, like, have her, like, somehow jack him.
Like a fleshlight.
Right.
Like a USB fleshlight he can use.
Yeah. It's a universal port.
But she, you know, it's a serial bus, but I'm running train on it. She reveals herself to him, and Ender's like, this is a great honor. My computer girlfriend.
I have a real girlfriend now. This one is yours.
I have several folders with really good
JPEGs. I'm going to fuck your mom.
Her boobies. And now I'm going to go fuck your mom. With my balls that have no fat in them.
Zero fat in these balls.
Like a fucking Olympia nutsack. So,
Oh, and also the thing we never mentioned, he's carrying around the Hive Queen with him in a backpack, or like a duffel bag he keeps under his chair. And she's like, is this my new planet? And he's like, shut the fuck up, Janet.
Play it cool.
And then he sets her free to, like, be a bug queen again. And the bugs and the humans and the pigs will live together in multiracial harmony, much to Orson Scott Card's horrified realization.
Well, is he just setting up the next conflict when you have the super communist ant people fight against the lazy Brazilian pigs and humans?
In space, Joseph Smith comes to convert them all.
There are gold, there's golden tablets in that Oort cloud we need to get.
Jesus put them 1,000 years ago.
Wow, that's nice.
Finally, a planet where they speak reformed Egyptian. All right. And then
that's it, right? That's everything.
More than enough.
It's definitely more than enough.
So then what happens? We talk about it and we tell everyone how good it was, right? Because I picked this one again and I picked a winner.
You're batting 1,000.
You gave it 4 fucking stars, Jimmy.
And I just demoted it to 3. I gave it 4 because 3.5, you never know where to go with half, but it's 3.
I'm going to get you down to at least 2. This book was bad. I am sorry. I wanted to read this book ever since I read Ender's Game because it was a lot of fun, but I realize now.
You've been waiting 8 years to read this book.
I missed the point of Ender's Game, clearly.
Or these have different points.
This was, you know, you said it's like so, it's up its ass at some points, right?
It's like an Ouroboros of being up its
own. It's like
a
Klein bottle. Like, that's how far its head is up its ass. Like, that's like that, like, four-dimensional bottle.
You can't have a highfalutin book where the aliens are called buggers and piggies.
He likes things with double G's in the middle. What other words could he use? What other ones are out there?
Well, you know, the thing is that he doesn't. He actually doesn't like those.
All right. That's true. I apologize. It was bad. But I wanted to read it. And who wouldn't want to read it? It is the first time that a book both won. This won the Hugo, the Nebula, the Locus, and a whole bunch of other minor science fiction awards. Two in a row, 2 years back to back. Like, wow, how did the guy do that? And Ender's Game is still wildly popular. So I was like, I was kind of curious, why don't people talk about Speaker for the Dead nearly as much? And now I know.
Yeah. I think we found out.
I mean, the thing is, like, regular folks don't, but, like, sci-fi people fucking love this book. They think it's the best one. They think it's one of the best sci-fi books in general, but they think it's, like, you know, Ender's Game is just a shitty prequel to this.
Okay, was it one of the best sci-fi books in 1986?
Probably.
Yes, I guess, objectively, if it won the Hugo or whatever, Nebula.
I mean, I don't know what it beat. I'm sure we wouldn't even recognize the titles.
I'm talking, what I mean is, like, up to 1986. It's like, oh, this is a inventive and different kind of, like, sci-fi thing based on biology and also anthropology, and it's a little mystery about those, which was unique at the time. Although we're reading this after we read Embassy Town, which is way weirder than this was, but yet better.
And I guess a similar concept? A
somewhat similar concept, yeah. But Embassy Town was like this kind of weirdness, but times 10.
And much better done.
But Anne was better done.
I was going to tell you why they shouldn't have won. Because I'm just confirming. I'm looking through the list because definitely like a list. This beat the 1986 Nebula Award. It beat The Handmaid's Tale. That is a much better book than this.
Mm. I mean, it's also, I'm not sure I'd call that sci-fi.
But it was nominated. It was one of the nominees.
Yeah.
Now, the Hugo, I don't know any of these titles, but I know, I recognize William Gibson's name. I also see he beat an L. Ron Hubbard book.
Did he do Neuromancer?
An L. Ron Hubbard book. Yeah, William Gibson is the necromancer guy.
L. Ron Hubbard book, like a, was Dianetics?
No, it's called Black Genesis, which is one of the, it's one of the Battlefield Earth books.
Oh, God. I can't believe that was nominated for fucking anything. Those have got to be terrible,
two,
right? Oh, God.
Fresh.
I just, are we
going to
have
to do that? Man animal. That was book two. Werner Vinge, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Vinge. I have seen that name. I know that that is a sci-fi nerd writer. And I don't know who Bob Shaw is. That sounds like a fake name you give when you don't want to get served divorce papers. And like, are you? You know, no, I'm Bob Shaw. Bob Shaw. No, shouldn't give it to you then.
Bob Shaw's Laws blog.
But like, it beat books that might be better. That might be better to read.
Or, hear me out, they could be worse.
I'm sure the fucking Space Jamaicans book is worse. And that's not William Gibson. That would be Battlefield of Earth. Because that's what John Travolta looks like.
No, true.
He's like a giant guy with dreadlocks.
Yeah, they are. They do have dreadlocks, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't the worst thing I ever read, but it wasn't good. And it was too long, and it was definitely full of itself. Like, this is real thought-provoking literature. Like, no, it's not. No, it's not, Scotty boy.
Scotty doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
So don't tell Scotty.
Nate also doesn't know.
I think Nate knows that one. He knows that
song.
I do, yes, I do.
Holy shit. You saw Eurotrip? Of all the movies you've seen Eurotrip?
I did, yes.
It's a very good movie.
Now, here's the next question. Do you want to read Xenocide, the third book?
I mean, even people who like really love these books say that everything after this is not
good. There's like 17 more.
Well, you know, you just got to keep that gravy train running. He's got a tithe. Do you know how much money that is? He's got to keep writing these books for the Mormon church.
Yeah, it goes from the gravy train to more of just that train gravy, which you don't really want to have any of that.
I don't like that. I don't like that. At least
it's a rhetorical flourish.
Well, something flourishes.
Yeah, it's like Pericles' funeral oration. I apologize, guys. I think this is really bad. I thought it would be good. Battle School High School. I didn't.
It's like the Ernest series where it's just Ender doing stuff.
We went to like junior high.
Ender goes to camp.
Ender saves Christmas. it was just not at all what I thought it was going to be.
You know, I thought it'd be pretty good too. So yeah. But now we know.
I knew it was going
to sell.
You
knew
it? How did you know?
I knew it. No, actually, I think that's it. And I did not get far. Immediately, there is no relation between like the kind of book this is than Ender's Game. Even though you're like, oh, I guess that's the character. But still, they're just completely different books. I mean, they're both science fiction. But they're like, in feel, in style, in excitement, in interest, in all the things that made Ender's Game like a pretty good book, this has none of that. And it's obvious from like page two.
You know, it's the similarity is that, you know, a war to end a civilization on one side or the other is really basically the same thing as race mixing, which I think is the message of this book. because it annihilates a culture when you talk to one another. I didn't really get it because it seemed to be like it was a good thing in this, but also I don't really understand. I don't really understand what his goal was with this one. Maybe he seems to make it a good thing, but in the third book, it turns out that race mixing was indeed very bad, and that's why it's called the Xenocide.
I don't even want... You know, you could tell that the interest drops off because the Wikipedia article for the third book is like three paragraphs.
It's a stub. This one's a stub. Please help us. But to do that, you have to read it. We're sorry.
But I read it. I was like, what is that one about? And it's 592 pages, so it's, you know, 40% longer than what this piece of shit was. And one of the reviewers were like, this could have been shorter. Come on. But it was nominated for many awards. But, New York Times Book Review was like, it was pretty good, but it could have been a lot more concise.
Is it another 3,000 years into the future?
The synopsis, according to this, no, Ender's still in it. Ender's in four, like the four first four books are the Ender direct saga. Lusitania faces annihilation as the Starways Congress. Like, did they open? Was that like one of the Jefferson Starship became after they couldn't be called that anymore?
After they lost more members.
Starways Congress sends a. I think that's. Or did they sing Afternoon Delight? That was the Starway vocal group. Sends a fleet armed with the deadly molecular disruption. I can't even read the sentence. Disruption device to destroy it. Home to the Pecaninos.
Yes, you guys ruined their culture, so we're going to bomb the planet to molecular dust just so your culture tampering doesn't make things bad.
Really makes sense. There's book four, Children of the Mind, which is definitely like a 1967 psychedelic album. Like a strawberry alarm clock.
Or a Doors
album. And this one, I just know like the first sentence, I still see the word Pecaninos as a link. And Jane, the evolved computer intelligence, is a main character who does something to take them inside and out of the universe to move them. Yeah,
what?
I can't. she needs to... Jane, in book four, apparently, Jane needs to find a human body vessel for her super intelligence. That is part of the plot.
Put me inside you, Ender.
Good Lord. And then it just keeps... the Ender's Game series, though, I think it's like close to 20 books at this point. In the Enderverse.
Yeah, that's too many. I don't want to read any more of them.
There are actually 19 published books and a 20th announced book.
That's atrocious. And I'd say he should be ashamed, but I don't think he's capable of shame.
Not with the amount of money he's made off this shit.
Oh, he's going to buy so many plots of land on Kolob or whatever the fuck they want to do with that money. I don't know.
So who should read it? Nobody. Your enemies.
I don't know.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Suck a dick. Oh.
Or tell us what you thought. Send us an email to junkusbookclub@gmail.com.
We didn't mention Patreon.
Whatever you're into is perfectly fine.
We're speakers for the head.
I don't want to yuck your yucks.
I know I taught you that phrase, and I really hate it. It's such a horrible thing. Someone said it to me, and it's like the ring. I had to say it to somebody else.
I just had to pass this on.
And 7 days later, I died inside.
If you're worth the podcast, give us a good review. Leave a comment. If you're still listening now, leave a comment on Spotify or if you're using that. And just say, here is your comment, Mike. Stop asking for it. I would like to see if that works. Or a 5-star review along with it would be great. And if you want to support us financially, because you are independently wealthy and you've not given your money to a pyramid scheme involving pig people, go to, or a church that requires 10% of your money, go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub, or just tell someone to listen to it. To like find a little pig guy on the train. Like, hey, tell your fat wife to listen to this podcast. Like, I can't say that.
Or give us 10% of your money. Or
we are the Mormons now.
Or check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.